All right. Hey, I wouldn't blame you one bit if you wanted to just kind of stand up right now, even if you're not in elementary school, and go on over to Expedition Kids where you're going to be with Brody Anna Jones, all right? I mean, In fact, it was tempting. I got to be honest when I'm sitting back there going, all right, man, it's pretty awesome. I'm not sure what's going to happen back there in the next few weeks, but it's going to be amazing. So if you're waiting, if you're watching online, you've got kids at home, maybe some neighbors to invite them to come, now's the time, man. Fall is getting ready to kick off in all of our family ministry programs, so invite. They're going to show up, and they're not going to be disappointed for that. I am so proud of our leadership and what they have done, the way they serve our kids, and hopefully you are a part of that. And if you're not, certainly consider this an invitation to get involved with Brody Anna Jones and Shelley in the preschool and Eli and the Elevate Ministries. This is a great time to start thinking about getting involved. Are you guys, have you ever been surrounded or in the midst of a really good leader like Brody Anna Jones? You ever been around a leader that you just were like, man, that young lady's got it, or that man's got it? I mean, have you ever thought about leadership? Leadership. What's that mean when you hear that word, leadership? Have you ever, think about it? I found this picture this week. I thought it was pretty interesting because the photographer literally followed these ducklings around without a mother or a father. They were on their own, and they actually stood by that curb for 10 to 15 minutes before one of them finally took the initiative to climb the curb, and then soon all the rest of them followed. That little duck there in front is a leader. A leader. Who do you think of when you think of a great leader? Maybe a teacher, a coach, a parent, a grandparent, maybe somebody in history that you look up to? Any names come to your mind? Any faces? Any thoughts? Just in 30 seconds, what I'd like you to do is just kind of maybe write this down. If you're watching at home, you can write this down up in Building B, or maybe share with your neighbor right now, okay? Just share with your neighbor in the next 30 seconds the name or the person, maybe from history or right now in your life that you consider to be a great leader. All right, go for it. Go ahead and talk about that for a second. Yes, sir. Hopefully you've been able to think of somebody, you know, something that just kind of triggers your mind. I don't know, maybe it's a world leader or a politician or something like that, but I think we would all agree this morning that leadership is important. Good leadership is important. Bad leadership can be important too in the other way, right? I mean, leadership is kind of what makes the world go round. And it starts from the minute you get out of bed, you go to work, and you're like, oh man, I don't even want to be here because of my boss, right? I mean, it can be that way. Or maybe you're that boss, and you're like, you know what? I'm going to make this the best place to work that ever was. And you get to maybe you're a cashier, and you're going to see customer after customer. There's a reason they call it what? Customer service, because we get an opportunity to lead by serving and sharing and helping those people. Now, if leadership is important, then it is certainly important in the church. So important. In fact, I believe churches rise and fall based on their leadership. It kind of starts with who it, like the Brody Anna Joneses in the gang, you know, you and I and those who step up and say, you know what, leadership is important. We take this very seriously, especially here at CCW. You see, at CCW here, our vision is to bring the hope of Jesus to all people. And one way we believe that happens is by multiplying kingdom leaders, not just for here on campus and around the church, but out in the community where you live, where you work. And I think all of us would agree today that the world really needs good leadership, right? Would you agree? I was like, wow, yeah, we need good leaders in our world today. So how important is leadership? That's why I'm excited that today we're going to talk about our Core 52 topic for this week. Now, hopefully you've been following along in our Core 52 study. It's been amazing. And this week, we're going to talk about leadership, remarkable leadership. And I'm pretty excited about it. Why? Why are we so excited? Why is that so important? Well, because we believe that Christ followers, Jesus followers, should be the most remarkable leaders in the entire world. You and I need to be the most remarkable leaders in the entire world. Why? Why? Because we follow Jesus. And Jesus was the most remarkable leader that this world has ever known. Jesus himself. So by following Jesus, we get to share in what it means to be a kingdom leader. So what's it mean to lead? What is leadership? Well, leadership by definition is influence. It's influence. That's what leadership is. So also by definition, each and every one of you today, everyone here within the sound of my voice, you are a leader. You are. In some way, shape, or form, you're a leader. Why? Because you have influence somewhere in someone's life that qualifies you as a leader. Now, while I believe that every single person is a leader because every person has influence, we also have to recognize that some people do have the gift of leadership. They're full of vision and charisma, and they've gained skills, and they've practiced things that help them to grow in their sphere of influence, right? But make no mistake about it. Every single one of us has a sphere of influence in our life. And nobody has influenced our world more than Jesus. 2,000 years, and we are still sitting here as evidence of the influence of the greatest leader that ever lived. Now, I've got a lot of notes that can, you know, we can debate this, talk about this. In fact, I'll make some things, post some things this week about Jesus and why we believe he was the greatest influence the world's ever known. But I just want to know, if we're going to talk about leadership, then we've got to start with Jesus. Would you agree with that? Now, maybe today you're thinking, you know, I'm not a Christian. I don't even know if I believe in all this kind of stuff. But you still got to recognize that the leadership of Jesus and what Jesus and his followers have accomplished over the last 2,000 years would be evidence to the fact that this is a very important person in history. And his leadership really does matter. So just kind of think, we've got to start with leadership if we're going to talk about what it means to be remarkable in this area and be great leaders of ourselves. So what do we do when we start with Jesus? Well, obviously we go to the scriptures. What kind of leader was Jesus? I mean, he could have been any kind of leader he wanted, right? He comes from heaven to earth. He's got the power to heal and to teach and to influence. What does he do with that kind of power? What kind of leader was Jesus? Jesus led with the heart of a servant. That's where it started. It started with the love that he had for people. The position of a servant. Understanding that God would lift him up. What Jesus modeled, what we see in the scriptures, what he modeled as leadership, especially in his time, and I think you would agree that it's even so in this time today, in 2021, that his style of leadership was revolutionary. This upside-down model of leadership, that leaders literally, they're at the bottom of the org chart, lifting up everyone else in the organization. That was Jesus' style leadership. Sacrifice, service, especially to people that were considered by others to be lowly, outsiders, the sick, the sinners. And Jesus went to them with a heart of service. And this was way different than any of the other leaders of his day would have led, especially in the Roman Empire. You see, in the Roman Empire, leadership was all about status. It was all about power. It was all about money. It was all about being able to serve people higher than you in order to get a seat on their right hand or their left hand. And why? Well, I read some Shakespeare. Okay, what happens when you're sitting on the throne and you got this dude on your right and this dude on your left? Yeah, pretty soon they're going to kill you and they're going to take your seat, right? That's kind of the cost of power. That's the kind of culture Jesus was in. And Jesus, the Son of God, the Messiah, he led for a different reason with a different heart. And that's what we see in our Core 52 memory verse this week. In a nutshell, Frank already gave it to us this morning. It's just, man, you're going to hear it again today, Mark 10:45. Even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. I'm going to capture the heart of Jesus' leadership. It's in this one verse. Jesus, the King of Kings, Creator of the universe, He could have come and he could have taken over the world with his power and his influence, but he was different. And how he led was different, unthinkable. You see, kingdom leadership, Jesus-style leadership, remarkable leadership is serving. Serving. And this verse tells us Jesus didn't even come to lead. He came to serve. Just let that sink in. Because all of us have a heart. Let's just admit it. Let's just be honest. Sometimes we get that taste. And, you know, we want to rise to the top. We want to do what it takes. We get that little flavor, right? Hey, what would it be like to have this kind of money, to have this kind of power, to have these things? And we start thinking about leadership. And we'll even serve to get there. We need to know Jesus started. Totally upside down from all that. Jesus came to serve. And in the midst of serving, we saw his power. Philippians 2, the Apostle Paul, God uses these words to kind of help capture the heart of Jesus himself. Philippians 2, 5 through 11 says, Jesus Christ, who being in very nature God, listen to these words, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, something to take advantage of for himself. Instead, he made himself nothing, taking on the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. So here's Jesus, the servant. And in the very next verse, it says, therefore God, the servant, exalted him. Exalted him where? To the highest place. And he gave him the name above every single name, above the earth and under the earth and on all of the earth, that every knee would bow and every tongue would confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Position of the servant. John chapter 13, we see this in living color as the story is told of the King of Kings, Jesus, the creator of all things, washing his disciples' feet. It's near the end of his ministry, and here he is, the master, the teacher, the Lord, humbly bending over with a towel and a basin and washing, serving his disciples by washing their dirty, nasty, grubby, who knows where they've been and how they smelled, kind of feet. Now, I thought it'd be kind of interesting today if I ask all of y'all to take your shoes off for a minute. All right? Anybody want to do that? All right. All right, don't do that, all right? For your neighbor's sake, don't do that. But man, think about that. What kind of humility that took for Jesus to do that. And why did he do that? He did that to set an example of service, of leadership. This was Jesus's model. This is what he has to teach for all of us, to bend down and to serve. The principle here is that when you humble yourself to serve, God can lift you up to lead. When you humble yourself to serve, God can lift you up to lead. The Apostle Peter captures it in his book, 2 Peter chapter 5. And again, Peter was a disciple of Jesus, a mentor to Mark, who this whole series is about or from. Peter says this, as shepherds, servant leaders, be eager to serve. Leaders, be eager to serve. Elders, shepherds, be eager to serve, not lording over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. Verse 6 says, humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, humble yourselves, that he may lift you up. This is leadership 101, as taught by Jesus. God in the flesh. To see Jesus' leadership model up close, to see where this gets traction in our lives, I want to turn your attention back to the book of Mark, chapter 10, where our memory verse is. Mark chapter 10. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and flip there. You can see them in your chairs there in front of you. Grab one if you're watching online. Mark chapter 10. And as you're turning there, I just want to set this up for you. Mark 10, Jesus is nearing the end of his ministry. All right, he's almost finished, and he's getting ready to go to the cross. And what he's done up till that point has been remarkable. Teaching, healing, leading, serving in ways that only God could do. And what Jesus' disciples believed about him was proving it to be true, that he was the Messiah. And Jesus had told them all along what he was all about. In fact, this, what we're about to read, was the third time Jesus is going to say this. He just said it a chapter earlier in Mark chapter 9, verses 30 through 35. He just went over that with them, that he would be arrested, that he would be given a death sentence, that he would suffer a brutal, brutal beating, and then die on the cross. And then after 3 days, he would rise from the dead. He is blunt. You can read it right here. And the disciples, like, rise from the dead. Okay, whatever, Jesus. Like, really? Okay, boss, whatever you say. Like, I don't know how leaders or whatever, like, exaggerated stories back then, but it's like it doesn't even faze them. It's like it's not sinking in. They just don't get it. Jesus is literally predicting the future and telling them what's going to happen. But they are so locked in on their model of leadership, the Roman culture of leadership, that they don't even hear what Jesus is saying. They're locked in on the idea of glory. They're locked in on the idea of rewards. They're locked in on the idea of what's going to happen. The Messiah. Are you kidding me? We've been following the Messiah around for the last few years, and now we get an opportunity to sit at his right, to his left. We get to be involved in this leadership campaign. So look what happens. Mark chapter 10, 35 through 42. James and John step up. The sons of Zebedee. Matthew 20 tells us that their mom was involved too, which is kind of funny. But Mark chapter 10, James and John step up and they come to Jesus and they say, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask." Hey, Jesus, we want you to do something for us. Like, you see this? They're just like, all right, this is it, a little me-focused? Like, does this sound like servant leadership? Does it sound like they're getting what Jesus is cooking? I mean, it's, no. So Jesus plays along with them. Verse 36, all right, what do you want me to do for you? And they reply, "Let one of us sit at your right hand and one at your left hand when you come into your glory." Right hand, left hand. What James and John were doing were positioning themselves like anyone would in a Roman-led culture for the rewards, for the glory, for the power. You see, their heart was for advancement. Their heart was for power, to get rich, to be right next to the big man. We see that so much in our own culture today. And James and John, at this point in their life with Jesus, had put together a little resume. They'd put together a little ministry resume. Remember, they left everything they had, and they've been following Jesus. You know, they've been serving right along his side. They had put in some work, and they thought, now is the time. Which kind of reminds me, and maybe this will sound familiar, but this is a dangerous, dangerous leadership attitude to have. It comes with this reward-centered, advance-focused leadership model, this heart. It's a heart of entitlement, a heart of ego. Like, hey, I know. Hey, I got this. Hey, I know you've been around a while, Mr. Leader, but I've watched the YouTube videos, and I know all the answers. Like, I can fix, and it's probably true. You can probably fix things faster than I can. You know, you've read the book, you've taken the classes, you know, you got all the answers, and therefore you are entitled to the right hand, to the left hand. At this point in their life, James and John were obviously the favorites of Jesus. I mean, they were like, hey, you see a lot in us, right? Like, now's the time to ask. He saw their potential. They obviously knew that he saw their potential. And I think the same is true today. We have got some young, gifted, amazing leaders in our world today. Even here in this church. That's true. They're fantastic. And James and John would even prove to be those kind of leaders. But right here in these verses, Jesus puts a premium, a leadership premium, on something that only time and only life experience and only suffering can bring. Young men, listen, verse 38, you don't know what you're asking. You don't know what you're asking. Can you drink the cup that I drink with? Can you be baptized with the baptism that I am being baptized with? Nope, see here, this term cup and baptism in Jewish tradition represented suffering. It represented God's wrath, even death. You see, leading by Jesus' side, like Jesus would lead, was more than just showing up, wanting to lead seats, knowing the answers. There would be blood. And James and John would indeed experience what Jesus said they would. You know what you're asking? Suffering. Sacrifice. So James and John pipe up, verse 9, yes, yeah, we can, we can. And Jesus says, well, you will. You will. You will drink from the cup that I drink from, and you will be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. You will suffer. But to sit at my right hand and to my left, that's not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they have been prepared. I think this is interesting too. Jesus warns them of the suffering, but then he also doesn't give them what they ask for. And I think right there, a lot of young leaders would have just turned their backs and gone, well, then I'm out. But they continued to stick by Jesus, even though they didn't get what he said, what they wanted. Verse 41, when the 10, meanwhile, back in the back of the room, check this out, the other disciples, they become indignant. As Frank said earlier, they're like, they're ticked, man. They're like, James, what in the world? Look what they just did. They just went, yeah, that's Jesus for this right hand, for this left hand thing. Like, they just stepped up and they were mad because that's what they wanted to ask Jesus for, and they just beat him to the punch. And they're thinking that's what leaders did, but they wanted the glory. They had this rewards mentality. They had this power. They had this money, everything. This was what they wanted, and yet these two are kind of, whoop, kind of butting in line and doing their thing. So Jesus says, enough of this. All right, come on, guys, let's get together. It is time for a leadership conference. All right, look, enough of this. Come on, sit down. He gets them together, verse 42, and looks what he says. You know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles, look at the leaders around you, the Roman leaders. He's talking about Pilate, talking about Herod, these other magistrates and governors and people around you. You know how they lead. They lord it over them. They lord over the people, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Now, these words, these are compound words in the Greek. They start with the word kata, and what they do is they carry this meaning of overpowering, of pushing down in order to lift yourself up. It's very common in the Roman Empire. In fact, this is what their leaders were famous for, rewards-based, power-based, advance-based leadership. Jesus says, you know those leaders, man. You know those leaders who push everybody around, who do whatever they can do to get to the top, to rise up, to build their kingdom. They want so that they can want for nothing, so that they can make their name, so that they can make their brand known everywhere. You know, like they want to be famous, get their name on a coin. You know what I'm talking about, the Roman Empire. They want to be rich. They want to have it all. You know those leaders, right? And I can just... Man, the 10 and the 12, they're probably like, yeah, we know those leaders. That's what we want. Like, that's why we're right next to you, Jesus. Like, we want that kind of stuff too. And Jesus says, four words, verse 43, not so with you. Not so with you. Remarkable leadership. We need to have these words in our hearts. Yes, we know how the world would have us to lead, but great leadership doesn't look like the world, doesn't look like the power, doesn't look like the want. That is not the way to lead. What Jesus is saying here is that leadership can never be all about you. Remarkable kingdom leadership is different than the world. Not so with you. And he goes on, instead, that word instead, there's another way. Whoever wants to become, listen, just circle these words, whoever wants to become great, important, significant, you want to be great among you, must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first or most important must be slave of all. Now, Jesus was talking about himself here. But he's also talking about the example that he is setting in his leadership, about what great, remarkable leadership is all about. The words Jesus used here are very intentional and very powerful. This word servant, it's pretty simple. You guys know what servants do. In fact, the word in the Greek means to wait on tables. Like some of y'all are going to go out to eat after worship today and you're going to be waited on. That's what this means, to wait on, to minister to other people's needs, to do what they're told. That's what that word servant means. The word slave, though, that's a little bit tougher to swallow, especially in our culture. This means someone who belongs to another person. A bond slave. No rights of your own. And I know that sounds harsh. You've been bought, purchased, and owned by someone else. That sounds crazy, but let's think this through. First of all, Jesus himself, Son of God, did give up all of his heavenly rights. He became human. And as a human, he served people. He gave up all that he had, and he was obedient to God, and he died as a slave for all mankind. Jesus emptied himself and became a servant. And then later in the New Testament, this word doulos, this word bondslave, would be used in the highest regard of believers who willingly live as slaves to Christ. That's what the Apostle Paul calls himself. So today, if you're a Christ follower, I hope that you would agree that you have signed all of your rights over to Jesus, to serve him, to trust in him, and to lead like him. And Jesus set that example. He set the example that if you want to lead for any other reason than to serve others, you're not going to be a remarkable leader. If you lead for any other reason than to serve others, you're not going to be a great leader. Oh, you might have people answering to your beck and call. You might have people doing what you say to do. But is that really leadership? Jesus set the example. You know, I've heard it said, if you desire to lead, then you must decide to serve. And that's what Jesus did. And that brings us back to our core 52 verse this week, one of the most important things that Jesus ever said, Mark 10:45. And he said it about himself. Remember the verse. For even the Son of Man did not come to what? Be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Can y'all say that with me? Let's read it together. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. So help me out. Why did Jesus leave heaven and come to earth? Why did he come? To serve and to give. The two huge words in there. He came to serve and he came to give. What did he give? His life. Why? As a ransom to pay for us. Jesus didn't come to earth to set up the throne and be king of the world. He didn't do that. That wasn't Jesus. He didn't come so people would wait on him. He didn't come so he'd have women on the right and on the left just waiting to do whatever he said. He didn't come for all the money and all the power to spend on himself. He didn't come to have his buddies on his right and on his left ruling over the masses. He didn't come to tax people and to take people so that he could have more. That is not why Jesus came. And even though his disciples didn't get it, they would understand it very, very soon as they saw Jesus die before their eyes and rise from the grave for the very reason he said he would. The God-man, the most powerful being in the history of the universe, came to humble himself, came to serve people, all people, y'all, even the poorest of people, even the sickest of people, the helpless, the sinners, like me and like you. That's why Jesus came, to serve and to give his life for us. We can praise God for that. The Bible tells us clearly that the wages of sin, the payment for our sin, is death, that we all deserve to die. All of us, each and every human, is being held prisoner by sin. We have been given a death sentence, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ and what he did for us, Jesus. And he came to do what only he could do. What only he could do, he came and he did it. Jesus came to earth to give his life as a perfect sacrifice, as a ransom, to pay for us, to get us out of death, to get us out of that prison, to rescue us from that death sentence, from our sin, from our bondage. Jesus took our place and died so that we could be free and live. Giving his life as a ransom is what Jesus did to give us salvation. But he also did it for another reason, and that was to model our vocation as Christ followers. You see, he set an example for us. We're here not just to believe in Jesus' teaching, but to imitate his example, which means we're going to serve and we're going to give our lives as a ransom for others. You see, this is where servant leadership really gets real. Like Jesus, we're called to lead by serving and by giving our lives to other people relentlessly, selflessly, sacrificially, generously, even if it hurts, even if we suffer, even if everything we have gets taken away from us, like Jesus. And today, I just want to invite you into the privilege, into the honor of remarkable Jesus-style, Christ-like servant leadership. The model that he gave for us, the honor of serving, the wonder of giving. And you can. We follow Jesus and we see the world around us and we see the need, we meet the need, we see an opportunity to give and we start to give. We become more like Jesus. And I'm just thrilled because we are part of a church, man. I see it every day. And I'm so proud to be a part of this family. I'm proud to be a part of a community where we're surrounded by other Christ followers who understand this. As a pastor, I get a front row seat to this kind of remarkable leadership, serving and giving like Jesus. And I know that you know, many of you don't want your names mentioned, and I could talk all day long about this. You're not here to be noticed, but you are noticed. You're not here for a job. You're not here to get a position or a title on the right or the left. You don't even really want to be appreciated. You just serve and you give because Jesus served and gave to you. And I think right now on the other side of this wall, there are preschool workers that are with our youngest kids. I think about Gina, who has every reason he's got two little girls of her own. She has every reason to want to stay away from kids on Sunday morning, but she is back there serving kids. I think of Anessa. I think of Alyssa, teenagers who are back there serving our preschoolers. Some of y'all are getting ready to go back there, aren't you, Mike? You're getting ready to go back there and serve. I think of Nancy, who's a grandma. Again, she retired. I'm done, man. I don't want to be around. But there she is. Now, I know this isn't dying on a cross, and it's not, you know, bearing the cup of suffering, but changing poopy diapers and wiping babies' bottoms is pretty close, all right? This back there serving. Man, I think about those of you who are caregivers, those of you who are going through marriage issues right now. Maybe you're struggling, and your cup to bear, your cross is just getting through the day. Maybe you need to find counseling in your marriage. I think about the caregivers. I think about you husbands and wives. Right now, some of you are watching from a hospital room because you're sitting at the bedside of the person you promised to be next to in sickness and in health until you're parted by death. And some of y'all are going through that right now. I think about Vicky. Man, Vicky, her 5 decades of marriage to her husband, John. And John right now has been sick off and on for a number of years, and he's fallen multiple times in the last few weeks. And his wife has been there with him every step of the way. And I know, Vicky, this, I don't even know if you're here, and you probably are embarrassed by this, but I know this isn't the cross, it's not, but this is your cup to bear. And you are keeping your marriage vows, serving your husband. And I speak on behalf of Vicky and every one of you who are caring for your spouses today through the toughest of times. Thank you for your example to me and to others who are trying to figure this marriage thing out. I'm thankful for my wife. I had a cold this week and she was there taking care of me, but nothing to that level. Just a couple weeks ago, John fell in his bathroom, and he fell in a way that he shut the door behind him. And I just learned this story this week. She's hesitant to tell me, but he fell, and for over an hour, he's locked in the bathroom, and she didn't know what to do, to call emergency, whatever, and he's there, and he's helpless, and she can't get to him. Someone was going to have to come and get that door open to take the time with him on the other side of the door to take that door down. And you know who showed up? His small group showed up. His small group showed up, and for an hour, cut that door, didn't you? You took the time, the patience, saved her a phone call, saved her emergency, I don't know, but took the time, they showed up, cut that door open, and rescued John from that bathroom. Y'all, that's servant leadership. And I had to, and no one knew that story. No one knew that story but her and that group. When you start to serve and to give without any attention to the rewards, So who's going to notice? God will do amazing things. When you bend down to serve, you humble yourself to serve, God can lift you up to lead. I think about our business owners. Y'all, some of y'all unapologetically serve your employees, serve your customers, and serve our community like Jesus. Dan, I appreciate what you're doing with the school supplies. I know things aren't turning out the way you thought they were going to, but you're still there, and you've turned your barbershop into a center for ministry. People know Jesus when they come and get their haircut there. There's so many of you that are doing that. I think about our teachers who are getting ready to teach school in the next couple of weeks. Y'all pray for our teachers because it's starting to happen. You serve your students like Jesus. Many of you serve our community through nonprofits. Some of you serve by giving financially to CCW and beyond with your tithes, with your offerings, with your special gifts for ministry. Even when it hurts, you put God first. And I thank you for that. I'm thankful for one of my neighbors who comes to church here. I see him walking around the neighborhood and visiting our seniors and visiting our veterans and people who can't come out of their house and they just need some ears to listen. And Al is there for them. Even when he doesn't feel good, he goes and he visits them and he sits for hours with them. He is one of my heroes. I think about you husbands who are going to go home today. And after your wife cooks a beautiful meal for you and your family, you're going to be standing over that sink washing dishes. It sounds simple, but that's servant leadership. I think about our kids, our students, who are not going to wait to be asked. Y'all teenagers are going to be saying, you know, can I take out the trash? It sounds like so simple, but that is servant, that's leading like Jesus. I think about our cashiers. I think about people, again, who are every day, you think, oh, I'm not a leader. I'm just a grunt around here, man. I just kind of get, no, every single smile you put on somebody's face, you are a person of influence. I think about, again, our youth leaders and Brodiana Jones and others, those of you like Diana who serve in the kitchen, who are here early on Thursday morning, Friday morning, making food for us so that we can enjoy them on Sunday. Those of you who are here in the sound booth and on the stage, you know, they don't just show up here to play. They're not that good, okay? They're here practicing. They practice on Wednesday night. They're putting into work every single day of the week to learn these songs. Okay, maybe Jesse's that good. But what's crazy is that, you know, I've heard this been on like kind of like some people go, oh man, what's going on? They're up there for the show. No, they're not. They're up here to show off Jesus. They're up here for an audience of one. Amen. They're serving God. And we get to participate along with them. And I'm so grateful for that. And I'm grateful for our red shirts, our service team. Man, I gotta get out of here. I'm getting carried away. But man, I think Wally has spent most of this last month in the hospital. And last week I see him, he's locking doors and he's checking on the counters and he can barely walk down the hallway, but he is making sure we're taken care of. And he's even willing to clean up the bathroom when it needs cleaned up. Some of y'all red shirts, your service team, you're here at 5 and 6 and 7 in the morning walking these hallways, unlocking doors and praying. Angel and his crew out in the parking lot with Joel in the hot 100-degree weather parking cars. Y'all, that's servant leadership. That's leading like Jesus. You have influence, and you're appreciated. Our small group leaders, our ministry leaders, our elders. I think about those who have gone before us. You know, Tom mentioned at the beginning, I said, think of what one leader, and Tom said, Dave Pardue, and I think, man, 35 years as our senior minister and my mentor and friend, the servant leadership of that man and the elders around him for years and years and years before some of us ever showed up and paved the way for us because Jesus paved the way for him. And now we get to pave the way for others. Why? Why? Because we've been loved by God so that we can love others. Because we've been served by Jesus so that we can serve others. Because Jesus gave his life for us so that we can give our life to others. One more story as I close. And this is just something that happened. I don't even have pictures for this because it happened on Thursday night. About a couple months ago, there was a man of God, one of my friends in the community. He called and he said, I'd like to do an outreach. I'd like to use your building if we can for the Springstead High School football team. Want to have this night, this overnighter, an all-night lock-in for these kids. Now, he's one of their coaches. So what's about to happen, this event that's about to happen, is because Nico serves them every single day, day in and day out. He does whatever it takes. He's serving with the other coaches. He's involved in these young men's lives. And I'm like, dude, an all-nighter? Like, I don't know if I can get help for that. I don't know if somebody's going to step up. You know, when we started talking, he's like, look, I'll do all the legwork. I'll make all the phone calls. I'll handle all the details. I will spend my own money, and I'll be here to make sure everything goes fine. Why? Why did he want to serve those young men? For one reason. He wanted the privilege to share Jesus Christ with those young men. He said, I need two things. I need a gym and I need a baptistry, because we're going to tell those guys about Jesus. The football players showed up. They showed up with their coaches. They were here on Thursday night, 20-something strong. And I was privileged to be the host for them Thursday night, all night long. I didn't sleep. I am still recovering from Thursday night. I am not a kid anymore. But it was worth it. It was worth it, man. Men of God stood on this stage and shared their faith with these young men. They served them. And even after all the other coaches and some of the other adult leaders left, Nico was still here serving those guys. We played games and had a lot of fun, but this young husband, this young dad, left his family at home in order to be here all night long with those guys. And it was a privilege to watch and to see. And I've got to tell you that I was blessed to see the fruit of this servant leader up front and close. I was privileged to be a part of that. To see that when you humble yourself to serve, God will lift you up to lead. And as a result, by God's Spirit and for His glory alone, y'all, none of the glory for anybody that was here, like for God's glory alone, but through hard work, listen, leadership, hard work, through dedication, through sacrifice, and through the Spirit of God, 11 of those young men gave their lives to Jesus. They stood, they confessed Him as Lord, and they were baptized right there in that tank on Thursday night. Each one of them received a prayer and a blessing and a commission, and we got to spend the night together kind of following up on that, and praise the Lord. Lives have been changed. Eternity has been changed because someone decided to serve the way Jesus served and give the way Jesus gave. That's what Jesus-style remarkable leadership is all about. And believe me, it is the only kind of leadership worth having. It's the only way of leading worth doing, to lead like Jesus. And to lead like Jesus, we've got to serve like Jesus. So this week, I hope you'll take the opportunity to do that. I hope you'll find a way, take a deep dive into what it means to serve and to lead like Jesus. Read that Core 52 chapter, watch the videos, discuss it amongst your family and in your small groups. Talk about it on Facebook. In fact, if you catch somebody serving this week, why don't you post that on your social media? Catch it on your Instagram, put it on Facebook. Not to lift them up, but to point to Jesus. I want to see the stories coming in because you know who they are. And I want you to find one way to serve somebody selflessly, even if no one ever knows, this week. That's one of our core values here at CCW, to selfless service. Find one way to do that this week. Find one way to give, even if it hurts. You can. Start to pray about that right now. And I promise, as you, and this is tricky, because as we start to serve, man, sometimes in the back of our minds, we serve because we really do want the recognition and we really do want the rewards. But let's leave that to God. Let you and I this week humble ourselves to serve so that God can lift us up to lead. And we'll change the world together. Let's stand together and let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you so much. God, we thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus. Thank you that He did do what He came to do, that He served. And we get to see that in the pages of Scripture. We get to see that in the lives around us. He came to serve and to give His life as a ransom for us. Thank you that He paid the price for our salvation. And thank you that He set the example of what it means to serve and to give our lives to others. And as a result of His influence, The world has been changed for 2,000 years and will continue to be changed today because he's still changing lives today. God, I pray if there's someone here today that needs to make the decision to follow Jesus, they understand that he gave his life for them, that he died for them, that they would make that choice. And like the 11, the 12, the 13 who gave their lives to Jesus this week and were baptized, they would decide to do the same today. Bring them to you by the power of your Spirit, God. Please lead them to make that decision. And for all of us who know you and follow you, God, I pray that we would truly, truly follow you as leader of our lives and serve like you served and love like you loved and give like you gave. Continue to use us, God. Thank you for those who are doing it. They're inspiration to me. We get to serve you together. It's truly an honor, God. It's an honor to be yours, to know you and to love you because you first loved us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.